You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole as part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Available on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts, and really wherever you get your podcast from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, credentialed member of the media for the past number of years, and you can hear me all around New Orleans on various sports talk radio stations and on the local news as well. It's a Tuesday here in the Crescent City, which means it is a game day for the New Orleans Pelicans as they travel to take on the Boston Celtics in what's going to be a really tough matchup for this team. The Celtics are maybe one of the worst matchups for the Pelicans out there right now. We're going to preview that game in the third and final segment of today's podcast. Before that, though, we need to kind of look at some guard play, some on-off court numbers, some net ratings, some offensive ratings, some defensive ratings, minutes, small sample size, and all of that good stuff as well. But there's certainly a number of things we need to take a look at, because right now, the guard play, and we're eventually going to have something coming out about this over at LockedOnPelicans.com, has been a real problem defensively for the Pelicans. We're going to look at who the culprits are with that as well, and then talk about maybe some fixes, what they need to be doing, and maybe, depending on the time and how well I can do this, one or two trade targets, or at least kind of give you an idea of what they need to be doing as we inch closer and closer to the trade deadline, which is coming in, I think, a little over a month away now. So a lot to cover in the Tuesday edition of Locked On Pelicans, so we're just going to jump right into it. So I know everyone tends to love Rajon Rondo, and they think of him almost in revered tones, but I'm kind of going to point this out to you guys in this, that he has not been very good this year for the Pelicans. And yes, he does bring leadership, and he does bring that kind of veteran instincts and IQ and knowledge to the Pelicans, which is needed. But his play on the court might be holding them back. And I say might because this is also kind of one of those things where, you know, maybe the stats don't quite line up with what we're seeing. Look, a 25 assist game, a 15 assist game, all of that is very important and does help the offense play better. But when you dive into the on-off numbers with the Pelicans with him there, it can get a little bit frustrating to look at. So all of these numbers, by the way, are going to have been since Rondo returned to the team. So keep that in mind, because otherwise, yeah, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to look at anything else. But since Rondo's return to the team, he's been in the most used starting lineup for the Pelicans. And we're going to look at, as I pull up the numbers here in the moment, I'm going to look at some of the things. So since Rondo has returned, let's just look at the Pelicans with him on court and with him off court. He's played 702 minutes on court. That better be, hold on. We're going to just make sure we run these numbers and we're good. Okay, 702 minutes with Rondo on court. The Pelicans have a 109.6 offensive rating and a defensive rating of 113.9 for a negative net rating of 4.3. Not good. Basically, on your net rating, you don't want to be that to be negative at all. In being off court, he has he's been off the court for 705 minutes. So these numbers are basically dead even. The Pelicans actually have a better offensive rating with him on the court. It's 111.6, so it's up 2 right there. The defensive rating dives from that 113.9 to 105.2. That is a significant, significant number. Defensively, this is one of the worst teams in the league right now. On the season, the Pelicans have a 107.5 defensive rating. That ranks 24th in the league, so you're not good. 107.5. It is less, again, 105.2 by 2.5 or 2.3 when Rondo is off the court. It is significantly higher when he is on the court, 113.9. So the net rating with him on the court is negative 4.3, and with him off the court, it's positive 6.3. You're looking at a 10.6 swing. That's significant. I don't know how else to really get around it. The most used lineup with Rondo in it is, of course, the starting lineup. Rondo, Holiday, Moore, Davis, and Cousins. It's played 328 minutes together in 22 games. It's got an offensive rating of 107.7 and a defensive rating of 110.2. That is a net rating of negative 2. It's not good. I don't know how else, again, to say it. Look, the offensive rating increases when he's not on the court. If his contribution is to keep this offense going and to be clicking and to be dishing assists, that number shouldn't be higher with him off of the court. Yeah, you know, he tends to be out in the second and fourth quarters, and the Pelicans get, you know, Davis and Cousins in there without him, which is going to increase probably any lineup that they're in versus someone else. But still, it shows that this team can get out there and score with the best of them without Rondo in the lineup. When you look at things like turnover ratio, the numbers are basically the same. It's a 0.2 difference. Field goal percentage is virtually the same. The rebounding percentages are virtually the same. The assist ratio doesn't even drop that much. It's 20.3 to 19.0 with him off the court. On the court, they have an assist turnover ratio of 1.77 compared to 1.65. It's less than that's 0.12 right there. That is not significant and not changing the game. Defensively, again, the Pelicans rank 24th in the league. They need to do something because right now this team is getting beat defensively, and that's how they're going to lose these games. That's how you get a team, you know, like the Sixers and the Knicks, I guess, are a good one, or Dallas, really putting up points on this team. They can't defend. Yeah, they can get out there and score. But when you give up basically everything, I mean, think about how they blew that lead to Portland. There was no defending. 61 points they gave up and scored in a half. That's not going to work. That's not how you're going to get it done in the playoffs. I have championed, and I've said it here, I've said it on different places, that all things equal, you want to take the team that plays defense. If that's kind of the difference maker or the difference between two teams, because the team that's playing defense, they're going to be able to go out there and always play defense for the most part. You might be a great jump shooting team, but there's going to be times when you go cold. But if you are a sound defensive team, that's usually what the difference is, because that's much more consistent. They need to get out of this bottom 10, bottom 5 in the league where they are now, because this is going to work. And that might mean they need to make a change in the starting lineup and reducing some of those Rajon Rondo minutes. And after the reset here, we're going to talk about just that. So make sure you're reading LockedOnPelicans.com daily. I did a mailbag up there on Monday for Monday's column, answering some of the questions that you all want to hear, talking about trade targets, talking about whether Rondo surprised me more, or whether Darius Miller and his three-point shooting, which by the way is going to lead into the next topic, surprised me more. Different things that you guys want to know about this team, and I'm happy to do more of those and answer all of your questions. But make sure you read and comment over at LockedOnPelicans.com. So if Rajon Rondo's not working, the question then becomes, you know, what should the Pelicans do? Well, there's a lineup I want to focus on and maybe some other different ideas, because this team doesn't have a whole lot of options. I could pull the on-off court numbers right now since Rondo's been back for Jameer Nelson, and they're not good. Like, Jameer Nelson has been really hurting this team. I'll pull him right now. I'm here. May as well. Again, he's got a net rating of -4 and an off-court net rating of 3.6. So a swing of 7.6 in the opposite direction for what you want. He's been really bad and killing the Pelicans recently. And there's a reason you've seen Jameer Nelson's minutes start to go to Ian Clark. And basically, this is indicative of the larger issue of what the Pelicans need to do, and they need to trade for another guard, particularly a point guard, because Rondo's killing them. You want him playing Jameer Nelson's minutes maybe in the playoffs and not even starting. So starting, who do you want? And the curious case basically comes down to Etuan Moore, who offensively has had a really good season but is struggling at times defensively for the Pelicans. He also has a negative net rating on court versus a positive one off court. I think the reason for that is obviously he's playing the three position for the Pelicans. He's got an on-court negative 1.8 net rating compared to 6.9 off. So, but I do believe a lot of that has to do with him being out of position. There aren't a ton of wings that really, really scare you deep down into your nightmares that Etuan Moore is going to get burned by. And frankly, those guys are going to destroy any team they play. There's very few guys just league-wide that can guard them. So Etuan Moore's done an admirable job, but at times, yeah, he can struggle. But really, when you look at what needs to happen, is he's better as a two-guard and needs to maybe be playing the two-guard, and maybe the Pelicans need to kind of look at exploring to an extent, because again, Jrue Holiday has played really well in this off-ball role, and he's thriving now recently, again, averaging career-high points. And I did a podcast last week basically saying we need to appreciate him more because he is playing well. So maybe you make a change to a starting backcourt again of Holiday and Moore. I don't know if that's going to necessarily be the issue. But this starting lineup, as we just talked about, and its negative net rating wasn't good enough, and you've got to try something. The natural thing to do would be to put Darius Miller into the starting lineup, shift Rondo out, go Holiday, Moore, Darius Miller, Davis, and Cousins. Now, again, this really might get Holiday back to struggling like he did to start the year when he was asked to be the lead creator and be, you know, that kind of facilitator rather than being just the guy who can attack and go when he gets the ball and not worry and play less, you know, play more instinctual and less, in his mind with it all. But Darius Miller with that starting lineup, so a lineup of Cousins, Davis, Holiday, Miller, Moore, has only played 22 minutes, so I mean, we're in the smallest of sample sizes here. However, they have an offensive rating of 127.6 and a defensive rating of 95.7, leading to a net rating of 31.9. Small sample size alert here, ladies and gentlemen. But still, maybe it's something you want to see with a different kind of sub-rotation and trying to figure it out from that. It's something they need to explore because there is potentially indications that there's a lot of potential there, and you need to try and get that out because that could potentially, again, potentially, because this all hinges on Drew Holiday, getting those minutes kind of at point guard, and does he play well? And we don't really know. Potentially that is a lineup that can be very effective or maybe one to be used in crunch time. Starting the game isn't as important as finishing it. When you're in close games, you need to get players out there who can score. We've seen the Pelicans struggle at times to do this unless one of them is just straight going bananas like Anthony Davis did against the Knicks. But maybe that lineup won't work, and then the Pelicans are going to be forced to look onto the trade market to bring in another guard, basically their third guard, to try and stabilize this lineup. They signed Jameer Nelson while Rajon Rondo was out, and that worked for a short period of time before he started to really regress. Rondo's come back, played well for a little bit before we really started to realize, as I talked about in the last segment, that maybe they're kind of bleeding points and really hurting here. And I think this is also one of the reasons why the Pelicans signed Mike James to a two-way contract after they waived one of their other two-way guys in Jalen Jones, a big, kind of like a stretch three, stretch four type player who doesn't really quite have a fit in on this team, particularly with these two bigs in Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins that the team is playing. James, who stands 6'1", most recently played for the Phoenix Suns. He appeared in 32 games, started 10 of them this season, averaged 10.4 points, 2.8 rebounds, and 3.8 assists in basically 21 minutes per game. So that's decent. This is a guy who's kind of proven he can score and play at the NBA level. And maybe we'll see if, basically what the Pelicans do with him. But something to keep in mind, because clearly they're searching for some guard depth and some guard play that they think can really stabilize this team. And you can see it. They wouldn't be signing this guy and getting rid of Jalen Jones, who they've committed some time and investment into otherwise. But this certainly isn't going to be the last move. And as we head towards the trade deadline, and we're careening or inching in the moment right towards it, it's going to be here before you know it. Pels need to do something because, again, this rotation and what they're doing right now is not going to be sustainable. Teams will light you up in the playoffs. You play this bad on defense and you got to play the Warriors or the Rockets in the first round. You guys don't even need to show up. We know how this is going to go. They're going to give up 130 per game. Yeah, maybe they can score that much, but the likelihood of that is not there. Need to get some stops at times. So, again, defensively, this team has struggled. They need to find some guard play. Maybe a move is going to be a change to the starting lineup. But again, we have worries about how that's going to affect Drew Holiday. So I said it yesterday, I'm going to say it again. Make sure you check out the Locked On NBA podcast, the interview with Ben Falk of cleaningtheglass.com. He's a former front office guy in the NBA, knows advanced stats, uses some of his own proprietary stats, and it's a really interesting interview, particularly the part where they talk about offensive rebounding versus getting back in transition, something Pelicans fans should be keenly aware of by this point. So make sure you tune in to the Locked On NBA podcast. So tonight, the Pelicans suit up and take on the Boston Celtics. By the way, the Celtics, who at 34-10 are one game behind the Golden State Warriors for the best record in the entire NBA. They're five games up in the win column on Toronto in the Eastern Conference, and they're currently riding a seven-game win streak and coming off like 4 days of rest before taking on the Pelicans here. So this is not an easy task whatsoever for New Orleans. Al Horford's expected to play after having some soreness. Jason Tatum, their rookie, who's been absolutely fantastic. And at this point, Celtics fans are basically like, we're not going to trade him for Anthony Davis, though you should and you would. The second that went down potentially, people would be screaming, of course. He's got a bit of a knee injury, and it's uncertain if he's going to be playing yet. And regardless of whether he is or not, I mean, this is a tough matchup for the Pelicans. There's really no other way to put it. I mean, just who's going to guard Kyrie Irving? Rondo might start out on him. You've also got Drew Holiday out there. But then the problem becomes, well, you know, who's going to guard Tatum or Brown, who both play that two and three kind of switch back and forth? So basically between Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, let's assume he's going to play, and Jaylen Brown, the rookie from the year before, who's played really well for them as well. Those three guys, how do you guard them? You got Rondo, you got Holiday, and you've got Etuan Moore. Moore's going to have a size disadvantage on Tatum and Brown. Maybe you put Holiday on one of those to try and slow him down, but these are the type of wing players that he actually might struggle against. And that means you've got Rondo on Kyrie Irving. And look, Rondo, I know everyone wants to talk about how awesome he is and defensively and all that. He's not been good defensively, as we just talked about. You see, I tied it all together here for the podcast. There was a plan in place. Kyrie Irving, you just kind of have this feeling is going to go off against the Pelicans tonight. He's averaging 24 points per game this season, along with five assists. He's played really well. You know, the guy is one of the best finishers in the NBA. That dude around the rim can just score, and it is unreal the things he can do. Al Horford's a good big to put up against Davis and or Cousins, whichever one he's going to be going against. Aaron Baines is going to get a couple of minutes in there and is good enough defensively. And then they're going to bring in a guy like Marcus Smart or Marcus Morris off of the bench. And what the heck do you try and do against some of these guys? This is a really deep roster, and they don't even have Gordon Hayward back. Mentioned in one of the resets about maybe the Pelicans and offensive rebounding and transition defense. Celtics are really good on the defensive glass, so offensive boards are going to be a struggle. This does mean in this game you probably need to get back the second a shot is released if you're the Pelicans. Kyrie Irving will try and burn you in transition, of course, then wants to get out and run and is capable of doing so. Though Boston doesn't play with a fast pace, they're a smart enough team and they're well coached enough to know when and where to pick their spots to try and beat the Pelicans. This is one where energy and effort's important, but basketball IQ is even more so. You got to know what they're going to try and do in what situations. And this is where Rondo's legendary preparation and his absolute hatred, I think, for Brad Stevens potentially can come into play. He knows this playbook. He knows what they like to do, even though they don't really run a lot of the same stuff as when he was there. So you've got to figure this is going to be a tough matchup. They're going to need Rondo basically more as a coach for this game than the play they're going to get from him on the court. So this matchup is going to be very difficult for the Pelicans no matter what. And I'm not really sure if they can pull this one out, but any sort of win or showing us something, you know, build off of what you've done these past two games, which is kind of come out and dominate in the second half, in the fourth quarter and overtime behind dominant Anthony Davis performances. Keep that going. Build some momentum off of that. You can do it in a loss. And that's all I want to see from the Pelicans tonight. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the game. Boston's a pretty fun team to watch. Ignore any fake trade rumors for Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins and all of that. No one can make the team trade them other than general manager Dell Demps, or I guess Mickey Loomis or Tom Benson here. So don't even worry about that. Just enjoy watching this team play because they are a lot of fun. And hey, the Pelicans right now are on a two-game stretch where they try really hard. That's cool enough too. It's not fun watching a team that kind of slogs around and doesn't put forth the effort. But when they do try hard, it's really enjoyable to watch this team play and hopefully win games. So thank you all for listening. Don't forget to check out LockedOnPelicans.com daily for all of your Pelicans needs. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, @NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow to recap the game.